We'll start in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, and I'm taking this first verse from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It says, God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godliness and unrighteousness of people who, by their unrighteousness, suppress the truth. And drop down then to verse 21, and again, this is from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, and it expresses it in a little more common vernacular that we're a little more familiar with in our way of speaking. It says, for though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became nonsense, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. Now in verse 21, the Holman Christian Bible says in verse 21, their thinking became nonsense. Think about that word nonsense. Their thinking became nonsense. Now this is a phrase that we could apply to many facets of our present life and people's thinking becoming nonsense. And that's what I want to think a little bit about today. Their thinking became nonsense. And you're probably running that phrase through your mind now and applying it to many facets and thinking about present day man and how their thinking becomes nonsense. I have a habit of putting on the DVR both local news and national news every evening. And the reason I do that, I want to get a little synopsis of what's going on locally and nationally. And you probably have the same habit I do. As you hear some of these stories, you think, that's just nonsense. And you just think, that's just senseless. Why did they do that? And the other day when I was preparing for class, and I always read a passage in the Bible in several different translations. Well, when I read it in the Holman Christian and I read about the fact that it was their thinking was nonsense, I thought about the fact of all the news stories I come across, and I thought about nonsense and the wasted lives that people do and the things that they've done, and you just think they've wasted their lives in such nonsense. And I don't know if you do the same thing, but I tend to see these stories about, and it's young people, old people, and things they do where they have just do such crazy things, and you think they have just wasted their lives and they're going to spend the rest of their lives in prison, and you just think such what? Nonsense. Nonsense. Claiming to be wise, they became, and I think the King James says, fools. And the Holman Christian says, it's nonsense. And it just reminded me. Became vain in their imaginations. If I'd have hit the next slide, it would have told me what the King James says. They became vain in their imaginations. And of course, imaginations, they're thinking. And vain is just vanity, senseless. No sense in this. There's just no sense in it. They have wasted that. I think to put it in our vernacular, their thinking became nonsense is more in line with the way that we live in the present day world. It goes on to say their senseless minds were darkened. And that's what led them into that way of acting, is the fact that their senseless minds were darkened. Break down that statement. The Apostle Paul says regarding their sin, first of all, their minds were senseless. And this indicates that they had no value system. Their idea of right and wrong was not based upon scriptures. And secondly, they were darkened in their thinking. How do you get darkened in your thinking? you don't apply a sense of values of right and wrong from Scripture, and that's what we've been studying on Wednesday night, is the fact that from Romans they have no value system. From Scripture they've not been taught right and wrong. They don't apply Scripture to their way of thinking. And what happens is God gave them up. He gives up on them. And you know, that's such a terrible way of thinking to us anyway as Christians. It's when God gives up on you. That's terrible. Then in verse 22 it says, claiming to be wise, they became fools. And I think about the fact that we live in a world where people want to be smart, don't they? They want to be thought of as smart. And those of you on at Wednesday night class, I've treated you several times to my Forrest Gump invitation. I won't put you here on Sunday morning through that. But Forrest Gump indicated, you know, he may not be a smart man, but the thing is, not many people want to be thought of as foolish, do they? People today they claim to be wise, but what happens? They become fools. There's not many people go around and claim to be fools, do they? They want to be thought of as smart. But yet they become fools in the things that they do. They think they're smart, but Scripture says that they're fools. And that's a sad thing. The Message, and I often read it in The Message, and you know from past experience in class and Sunday morning sermons, The Message is kind of loose. It's a paraphrase, but it says, they pretend to know it all, but they were illiterate regarding life. Isn't that sad? They pretend to know it all, but were illiterate regarding life. And you know, you can probably, when you watch the news, see people just like that. We live in a world that is just like it. I think about some of the examples from the Bible, and they're just as amazing as those that claim to know it all in the world around us. You go back to the Old Testament, to Exodus 32, in the situation with Aaron. And Moses had gone up to get the law. And Aaron said, he comes back, and they had this calf that they had made out of gold. And Moses was so upset, and Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. This is Exodus 32, verse 22 through 24. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people. Now let's pause there. We don't get very far, but what's Aaron trying to do? Moses catches him in the sin, and Aaron says, you don't know how those people are. It's not my fault. It's the people. He's playing the blame game. What do? When we get caught in sin? It ain't my fault. It's the people. And you know, you watch the news, and what's the latest thing in the news? The governor of Virginia. It's not me. They got a picture of the guy. It's not me. And I don't advocate watching anything by Eddie Murphy. But Eddie Murphy says no matter what they ever catch you in, deny it. Just lie about it. That's the way the world works. Just deny it was you. Just lie. That's the way the world works. You lie your way out of everything. Just say it wasn't you. And I think he went and watched that tape because he says, it's not me. It's not me. We got the picture of it. Yeah, that's right. Here you are in the picture. I don't care. It's not me. It's not me. That's the way the world works. It's not me. So you just lie. And that's what Aaron was doing. You know the people. It wasn't me. It's not my fault. I didn't do this. It's the people. They made me do it. And he's blaming them. They're set on mischief, he says. It's not me. I'm Snow White. I never see it. I've never sinned in my life. It's the people's fault. They made me do this. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For is this Moses, the man that brought us out here in the land of Egypt? And he's hitting, this Moses, he just brought us out here to die, you know.
He just wanted to kill us, you know, brought us out here in the desert, and, you know, we ain't got no food. Well, all we got is this manna from God and all this other stuff, you know. You know how this Moses is. He's terrible. We wot not what has become of him. We don't know where he's at. He run off and left us. And I said to them, whoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it to me. They brought me this gold, and I threw it in the fire, and just hocus pocus, out came this calf. I didn't mold it into a calf. Somehow it just, poof, it just came out as a calf. You know, that's just what happened. And, you know, he must have thought Moses, his own brother, was just fell off the turnip truck. Isn't that a saying for something, somebody that's just really gullible? You know, out came this calf. This calf just walked out of the fire on its own, made out of gold. There it is. And Moses just brought us out here to die in the desert. Just brought us out here. You know the people, it ain't my fault. I didn't do that. We just throw that gold in there and out come this calf. And you know, God was just pleased as punch with them, wasn't he? Wasn't he? Isn't that the way the account goes? Turn over to Exodus 32. Look at verse 10. Now therefore, let me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them. Now he's telling this to Moses. Did you know that God wanted to wipe out those people? And he was like, forget these people. I'm going to wipe them out and I'll make a great nation of you. Did you realize that? If it had not been for Moses, God would have wiped them out and started over again, making a great nation of Moses. Now therefore, let me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them. This is verse 10. And I may consume them in order that I may make a great nation of you. He's speaking to Moses. This is pretty tough. But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Moses, if Moses had not interceded for these people, God would have consumed them. Moses didn't care about the fact that God could have made a great nation of him. God was ready to consume these people for their sin. And God would have started over with Moses. Moses did not let his pride get a hold of him. Professing to be wise, what these people do? They became fools, and Aaron went right along with them. That's a lesson to us. You remember Naaman, the Syrian who had leprosy? You know what leprosy is? It eats you up. It consumes your hands. It gets on your body. This is probably one of the worst. I can't imagine how terrible this disease is. Naaman the Syrian had this disease that would consume his body. This was terrible. He heard there was a prophet. His wife's maid told him, there's a prophet that can cure you. And he goes to him in 2 Kings 5. He visited Elisha, the prophet of God. And you know what Elisha did? He didn't even come out to Naaman. He sent his messenger out who told Naaman to dip 7 times in the River Jordan. And was Naaman happy about this? You better believe he was not. Naaman was a great military commander, and his pride was hurt. What does he say? Naaman was wroth. That's King James Version language for he was mad. He had servants with him that he commanded. Wroth means in the King James Version, he was really mad. And went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel?
may I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went away in a rage. You know what a rage is? This man was not happy with Naaman at all. His pride was hurt. The prophet didn't even come out personally and put on a show. He thought he was going to come out, wave his arms and say, "Abracadabra, hocus pocus, all this leprosy, leave him." But he didn't come out. He just sent his messenger out. "Go dip seven times in the River Jordan," his messenger said. And he didn't even come out and say howdy to him. And his pride was hurt. He's thinking, "Don't you know I'm important? I at least deserve a visit from this guy." And he didn't even come out and see him. Didn't say howdy, didn't say nothing to him. And what happened then? Verse 13, "His servants came near and spake unto him, said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, would you have not have done it? How much rather then when he saith unto wash and be clean?" Then he went down. They convinced him. Well, probably ain't going to do one bit of good, but I'll do it. He was probably desperate to get rid of that leprosy. And he thought, this is so easy. Maybe these guys are right. Might as well give it a chance. So he goes down to the River Jordan. I can just imagine. Okay, he dips one time. Leprosy hasn't left him. What did he tell him to do? To dip seven times. Now, I don't know this for sure, but I think until he dipped seven times, I don't think the leprosy left him. I think it was after he dipped seven times that the leprosy left him. He dipped seven times, and it says his flesh came into him like a little child, and he was clean. Can you imagine the shock that must have came over him when his skin changed and the rotting flesh came back on his body? That must have shocked him out of his mind. And it wasn't until he had done exactly what the prophet had said did it happen. Naaman, professing to be wise, what? Almost became a fool. Can you imagine if he had went back home and if he had started that process and he dipped two times and he looked and he thought, this is a waste of time. Or if he had just saw the River Jordan and thought, that is one muddy river. I ain't going to waste my time. Or if he had dipped four times, five times, six times, but had not dipped seven times. Do you think if he had dipped six times, he would have been partially cleansed? You think? Uh-uh. The prophet said seven times that he had to dip in the River Jordan before he would be clean. I fully believe that he had to do exactly what the prophet said. Because the prophet said you have to dip seven times in the River Jordan in order to be clean. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You know, on the day of judgment, how many people are going to say and think about the times that people tried to persuade them to be Christians? It's going to be sad. And you know, Christians are going to be so happy, they're not going to worry about the times that, you know, every tear is going to be wiped away. But those people that are lost, it's going to be so sad. I wonder on Judgment Day, how many are going to think about the sadness? Professing to be wise, they became fools. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, Peter writes and he says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, as you read this passage, Peter should be assured, if anybody is, because Peter knew how to repent. And he tells the brethren to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. He's basically telling Christians that he writes to make every effort to make your calling and election sure. If we look at a translation that's a little easier to understand, the CEV translation, he says, same passage, "My friends, you must do all you can to show God has really chosen and selected you. If you keep on doing this, you won't stumble and fall. Then our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will give you a glorious welcome in his kingdom that will last forever." And I'm not suggesting that it's a works religion, but it talks about the fact that we secure our salvation through doing the things that we can to make our calling and election sure. And this is the getting rid of those things that so easily beset us. Hebrews chapter 12, as you look there, he says, let me turn over there. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And the sin which so easily besets us that he's talking about to these Hebrews was they had a tendency to want to return to the Old Testament law. And, you know, we all have sins that so easily beset us. Different people have different sins. Some people, it's going to be different sins. But this is a situation where we all can see that we have the sins that so easily beset us. And it's a continual, it's a continual challenge to each of us, different sins that so easily beset us. My sin is Bluebell ice cream. And I want you to know I haven't had a bowl of Bluebell ice cream in like 3 months. And we all have sins that so easily beset us. And it's a situation where we have temptations. And we have to put those temptations aside and try to push on. And I joke about the Bluebell ice cream. I do that from time to time. But the point is... No, it really is a sin. but I think you see that we all have challenges. Sometimes it may be patience. It may be other things that they talk about in the Christian life. And the point is, we all have challenges. And that's the sin that was challenging the Jewish Christians at that time, is to want to go back under the law of Moses. And it was a tremendous challenge for those people. And this morning, that's what I'm talking about regarding the sin that we all have. And he says, "My friends, you must do all you can to show God has really chosen and selected you." And that is the fact that we have those challenges. And we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And there will come a time when we will be judged. And what it will be like on Judgment Day, we were talking about this the other night on Wednesday night during our Bible study. We're going to be in the Spirit. And we really don't know what Judgment Day will be like, but we do know that we will give an account. We do know that God's a merciful God, and if we're forgiven of those sins through the blood of Christ, we will be saved, and that God is a merciful God. And we know that we contact the blood of Christ through becoming a Christian. And we know that that blood of Christ is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, as we studied in the last lesson I gave. This morning, this has been designed to show that God's wisdom is better than man's wisdom. And God is right each and every time that we challenge His wisdom versus man's wisdom. So many people profess to be wise, and they're fools instead. Let's study the Word of God and see that His wisdom is where we need to reside. And Proverbs 1:7 says, "The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord." And that's where we start. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, the lesson's yours as we stand and sing.